Resources of the Joint Ways and Means Committee to order and open a work session on Senate Bill 5547, the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. Mr. Siebert.
Mr. Chair, today you have before you Senate Bill 5547, which is the budget bill for OWEB. You also have on your agenda Senate Bill 5550, which is a blank bill that we will be using to make the allocation limitation for the Measure 66 capital funds. You should have a packet at your place with a series of handouts, the first of which is the memo for Senate Bill 5547. The first part of the LFO recommendation deals with the performance measures. I've attached the performance measures in this case along with the DAS review for your reviews, so you don't have to look for them in the budget book, particularly because LFO is recommending the subcommittee not approve the performance measures as submitted by the agency. As we stated in the memo, there's a few of the measures presented by the agency do address some aspects of the agency's mission, but they fail to address the most important function of this agency, which is the outcome of the funding activities that restore, maintain, and enhance watersheds. Likewise, the DAS performance review makes a similar finding in that the agency's challenge in the future is to find indicators that measure the result of the funding and technical assistance activities and how their funds and activities enhance watershed. Likewise, LFO believes a major indicator of successful investments by this agency would be the removal of Salmonid species listed as endangered under the ESA. To this end, LFO is recommending that OWEB work with our office and the Department of Administrative Services to develop a set of indicators that measure the outcomes of the agency's activities. And we're recommending that the agency submit this new set of performance measures to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee for approval before July 1 of 2004. As you heard during your public hearings, the agency is in the process of contracting for some work on measures that I believe that the director would be better able to speak to.
Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm Jeff Huntington, the Executive Director of the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. We've discussed this recommendation with legislative fiscal staff, and what I can tell you is that we've worked closely for 2 years with the Progress Board, worked with the Oregon Business Council to have an intern from the Harvard Business School come and work with our agency and other agencies to work on developing performance measures that try and get at the end result, what are the outcomes being accomplished under the Oregon plan and by investments. And it's not an easy thing to do. We, I think, constructed performance measures that measure what I call widgets, the actions that are being taken and the adequacy of those actions, and have identified a process that will get us to a place where we can provide a base set of environmental indices that will give us the ability to track the long-term trends of watershed health and some of the key factors in a particular basin. We'll be doing that in conjunction with the Oregon Natural Resource Institute and the natural resource agencies in the executive branch cabinet. It's an issue that's bigger than OWEB, and it is one that perennially has been hard for folks to get their arms around, but it needs to be done. And we were close to letting that contract this week, but we had to back up and do a little bit more revision on the scope of work for the process, identifying the process. I've spoken with the federal executives of the federal land management agencies in the state that are operating in the state of Oregon as well, U.S. Forest Service, BLM. They are also interested in this notion of having an agreed-upon set of indicators for basin-scale trend monitoring over time. I call it the Dow Jones average, if you will, of environmental indicators in a particular basin. So we have a common point of reference to track. And they are interested in collaborating on the process, too. So, frankly, I think what will come out of the other end of this process with is something that's a little bigger than just OWEB, but has a lot of good involvement that will be the underpinning for Oregon plan for a while.
Thank you, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Huntington, just to give me a sense of scale here, what do you have budgeted for consultant services? Is it going to be a bid or is it a negotiated consultant?
We have, Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, we have established a not-to-exceed budget of $50,000 using some of the Pacific Coastal Salmon Fund money to accomplish the purpose, and we did that in part because of the connection to the Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watersheds and the interest of the other agencies in the Natural Resource Cabinet in creating this single set of core environmental indicators that we would track over time through the combined monitoring programs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This just gives me a forum to, I guess, make a point. And I understand that doing performance measures in an agency context is more difficult, I think, than setting them for business. We always talk about running government like a business. You have stakeholder involvement. You have to have various people at the table. But over the years that I have been observing performance measures since it first became kind of a trendy thing to do in state government in the early 90s, sometimes I worry that we spend so much time doing it, we forget what the it is supposed to demonstrate, and that sometimes the performance measures get a little overthought and a little overwrought. And while I agree with your trend, the sort of Dow Jones indicators, because you have to have something to balance this level of expenditure of money against in terms of outcome, I just think we need to exercise some restraint statewide in developing performance measures that have these monumental price tags attached to them. Although I'm sympathetic to the fact you've got to get the right people at the table in order to have them bought into.
Representative Morgan.
Where did these come from?
Chair Messler, Representative Morgan, we worked with the Progress Board and developed these performance measures stepping off of the agency's strategic plan, which we also developed with the Progress Board. And so we looked at the 10 strategies that the OEB board identified as wanting to implement over time and said what would be some simple, achievable ways to measure progress on accomplishing those strategies. And we had quite a list that we then worked through and said what can we actually accomplish without coming in to this process and asking for added budget dollars in order to be able to take it on, because it would require a whole new database or a whole new something. And we scaled that down, and with the help of Jeff Tryon said, you know, this is an adequate first step that will identify actions that are being taken that over time should lead us toward accomplishing the objectives in the agency's strategic plan, recognizing that no one of those performance measures alone will tell you whether or not the cumulative total of investments that are being made of Measure 66 dollars are resulting in a turnaround of fish stock numbers that are listed under the Endangered Species Act or something else that is subject to a myriad of other potential factors that can cause the trends to flip one way or the other. And that's, in a nutshell, the process we went through.
Well, and if I might just continue, Mr. Chair, I think that you appear to be measuring your public outreach and education piece with some performance or some goals that address that kind of thing. And there's some, you know, you've got one here that gauges how many watershed basins have finished their plans. What concerns me is, I think, pretty much what Mr. Siebert was talking about, that there isn't any performance measures that help me make a judgment about whether what we're buying with the money we're investing is getting us towards delisting, which is where I think the whole thing should be ending up. And so I would hope that as you go enter into these discussions with these consultants and do whatever else the process is going to be, that what we'll end up with are things that we can look at and say, this is a good investment. We're making progress here. We're recovering miles of stream habitat, or we have these measures of water quality that we can see are improving, or we have these particular runs that we're being able to contribute positively to a delisting discussion on. I think that that's what would be most helpful to me when I'm trying to figure out the direction to give the agency in spending priorities is to track them against the goals of the Oregon plan, but to try to have some pragmatically determined markers to show that the investments that we're making are moving us in the direction of the goals.
And Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, I understand exactly what you're asking for, and I think that these performance measures take us part of the way there.
I agree, they take us part of the way there in some very limited areas.
And for instance, I do believe that what we have set up now is a way for this body and others to track what percentage of the OEB projects that we are funding have been identified previously as in a watershed assessment that was scientifically based as being a key limiting factor that needed to be taken care of in that particular watershed in order to correct the problem of salmon habitat. So we've got some of those first steps, but that next place is the leap, the jump off that we have to.
Well, and I would submit to you though that the goal of OWEB is not to fund projects that are in a watershed or listing of projects. The goal of OWEB is to delist fish.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, OWEB is one of the agencies that has that as a goal. I would say that is the outcome of whether the fish are ultimately delisted under the Federal Endangered Species Act is entirely dependent on habitat, harvest measures, hatchery operations, potentially hydropower, depending on the operation of a hydropower system, depending on which stock we're talking about. And my agency certainly owns a piece of the responsibility for moving us toward a state of having healthy habitat that will contribute to a delisting, but a performance measure, and one of the reasons I'm moving us toward an overall set of environmental indicators that is part of a larger picture, is that it is not just that OWEB piece in the investments that will lead us to delisting of fish stocks under the Federal Endangered Species Act. It will be OWEB's investments in conjunction with a number of other things that are significant impacts on the listed stocks. And what I've been trying to do is facilitate a conversation and a venue to have that ultimate set of indicators that we all agree we need developed in concert between all of the entities that have a stake in this and that have a program or a process that is going to help move the ball down the field. And I would submit that that's that core set of indicators of what needs to be done and how we measure that over time in particular parts of the state that will give us the picture to say whether our programs under the way we're implementing the Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watershed is really making a difference.
Well, I would submit to you, if I might, Mr. Chair, that the responsibility that you have is for benchmarks and for OWEB, and that is where you need to be putting your energy, and that the larger global scale should maybe be dealt with in a different venue. But the bottom line is that we need to have some ways to measure whether the investments that are being made with the Measure 66 funds are indeed taking the state where we need to go with the program. And the delisting piece, I think, is very critical. I think it's also very critical to be keeping land in production and to be enabling the social and economic pieces of what's important to the state to continue to work, too. And so all I would ask is that as you go through this process, that you remember that these are the measurements of success for OWEB, and that the measurements of success are the delisting and how we accomplish that and how we maintain the social and economic functionings in the areas that are under the listings.
And I agree that I need to put the measures ultimately for the accomplishments that are occurring as a result of the investments that OWEB's making and including the social and economic factors. That's clearly part of what we're about, and that needs to be reflected in the measurements.
Mr. Huntington, as I recall, started this whole process in 1977, that there was two main movers. One was delisting or preventing delisting, and the second was to develop a grassroots organization that was going to help us move forward with our habitat and water quality. I think it is appropriate that we have some measurement if we are approaching or moving or getting some results from our investment in moving towards a delisting process, at least, if not the delisting itself. But as I read through the performance measures, I see no measurements of the I see the number of stakeholders that were in contact, but no measurement as to the kind of relationship they had, whether supportive or they've had problems, or which just seems to me like a measurement of customer service. I can tell you that in the contacts I've had with constituents, and some from all over the state, that in many cases you have very strong support, but there are people that do have had issues, I guess is the best way to put it. So I think it's important, and we've done this with other agencies through this budget process and other committees as well as this one, to measure what kind of service we're getting to the stakeholders. I'm also very concerned with the economic times we have now, that we are spending a considerable amount of money with ballot measure 66 and in federal funds. And we talked last night, but I'd like to get it on the record. With the proposed budget that you've seen, how much money is left in this budget to go towards capital projects throughout the state?
And I'm sure that Mr. Seaver will correct me if I'm wrong, but my reading of the budget document says that the OWEB Capital Project Grant Fund will have about $24 million in it, a little over $24 million for the biennium, based on the current lottery forecast.
Okay. And how much did you have to spend last biennium?
I believe it was a little under $27 million last time. We had more than that available to spend by the end of the biennium because the lottery revenues outstripped the forecast that our legislatively adopted budget was based on, but we did not come in and seek access to that additional lottery revenue to put into the capital grant fund in the 2001-03 biennium. Rather, we waited with the expectation that we would pick that revenue from the 2001-03 biennium and add it to this biennium's total for the grant fund. And that hasn't happened because of allocations, but it was just under $27 million last biennium.
And of the $24 million for this biennium, the coming biennium, does that include the 2004 federal funds that we expect to receive?
That $24 million is strictly Measure 66 capital dollars, no other fund source. In the past, we have used federal funds not for capital projects, but principally for non-capital projects, the kinds of activities that this $24 million won't be eligible to be spent on.
So what is the number that you expect to receive from the federal government throughout this biennium?
I am hoping to see a congressional appropriation of $14 million in the federal fiscal year 2004 bill for the Department of Commerce. That appropriation process will wrap up in the fall.
So that's a total of roughly $36 million for the biennium that we could possibly have available for capital projects.
For capital and non-capital projects. And I would love to have a discussion with the committee today about having access to that federal fiscal year 2004 Pacific Coastal Grant so that we would know that was occurring so the board could plan forward toward that, yes.
And my point of getting this on the record is I think that we've got considerable amount of money. And what I'm hearing from other constituents, again, from around the state, is that are we prudently spending this amount of money when we have so many other needs around the state? So I think it is the prudent thing to do, again, to have this discussion and to make sure that we can document that this money is going to very good causes and we're making very sound judgments that are moving forward. Representative Krieger.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I was looking at these key performance measures and listening to your conversation. I thought it was difficult to measure in my own mind how OWEB is going to measure how they contribute to salmon recovery, because they deal with habitat that provides potential for recovery. But at the same time, we hear, and I've got a report in my office right now, that says 90% of recovery is going to be due to ocean conditions, not fresh water. So if you're only going to take the 3% and say that is maybe from freshwater habitat improvement or temperature or water quality, though we can make it available and it can be utilized when the ocean conditions are there, I don't think it's a consistent thing. If you don't have the ocean conditions, you're not going to be able to measure fish to find out whether you've provided the habitat and the time frame for recovery to take place.
Mr. Chair, I have Jay Nicholas has been working with Jeff Tryons and Dr. Hal Salwasser from the university and the Progress Board on the environmental indicators for the natural resource agencies for these performance measures for our agency. If you've got more specific questions, or if I haven't answered a question adequately, I'm happy to do that. I do concur with Representative Krieger's last remark.
Why don't we get the question from Senator Dukes, and then, Jay, if you'd like to make a comment, you're welcome.
Mine's more of a statement, Mr. Chair. I agree with Representative Morgan, and I would go further. I think we created OWEB to try to delist, but also to be out there to be prepared for sort of the next species and that, and just in general to make habitat a whole lot better and safer place for fish. But I'm glad that you're charting whether the grants that you're giving fit in with a watershed plan. But I want to know that once they're done, that they accomplish goals. I've been worried about that since day one. I mean, I have a great deal of faith in the watershed councils and the people that are out there working on the ground. But you and I have talked many times, Jeff, about, you know, my fear for this big headline on the front page of the Oregonian says Oregon has spent X millions of dollars and hasn't saved a fish. So I need to know, as Representative Morgan was saying, that we have so many more miles of stream that have down timber or good gravel, that we have the term escapes me, but, you know, drop the pellets or the frozen fish or whatever, and enhanced, enriched a stream, that we have done certain things that would improve it for the species. And then also, the Oregon plan was set up to try to avoid a listing, and then we're hoping it will be the recovery plan. So then there ought to be something that says this is how much progress we've made toward that. I wouldn't, you know, take the whole thing on that one, but I've been worried for a long time that we know that what we're doing fits in with what the Watershed Council says, but that also that the goals we have, the expectations we have when you give a grant are being met. So I think you can tinker with these and get there. But my question, I guess, if I have one, is of staff, how come this is going to the audit committee?
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, the audit committee is charged with dealing with agency performance during the interim. And a number of other agencies have been directed to report on changes that subcommittees wish to be made to the audit committee as of kind of the clearinghouse for dealing with performance measures. That was done in past biennia. And for consistency's sake, that's why we're recommending it also goes to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. If you wish them to also report to the emergency board as well, that's certainly acceptable as well. It's just, I think that this is probably the first time that you've seen a recommendation where we're requiring a report back, at least in this subcommittee. That's why the first time the reference to the Joint Legislative Audit Committee.
Having no idea what the makeup of the Audit Committee would be, Mr. Chair, I have no idea whether they would have the background or understand where we're coming from. But
we could always show up when it was on the agenda.
That's true, and who knows, maybe one or two of us would end up on the committee.
And so I think, Senator, that other committees could request a report as well.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Morgan?
Well, just a couple of editorial comments on the agency's role in delisting, because I think that all of us recognize that the ocean conditions are a huge governor over what happens with the returning runs, but I don't think the ocean conditions are in the final analysis going to be what delineates whether a species is delisted or not. I think what in the final analysis we're going to be facing here is the ability to convince our federal partners that given the risks there are to the populations, that we have programs in place to mitigate the risks. And I think that the especially the monitoring piece of what OLEB does is going to be an incredibly significant piece of whether we can climb those over those bars that we have to make as we make the argument that we have programs in place to mitigate for the risks of the stocks. And I would submit to you that that is a critical piece of what OLEB can do and should be doing, and that it's the those are the kind of performance measures that I think that the committee is going to be interested in how OLEB is using the resources that it has financially to move the state into that kind of a position.
Jeff, I want to ask a question. Don't we have a rating system now for rating our streams? Seems to me I've seen a report someplace where they're classed as 1, 2, 10 or something like that.
Senator Messerly, I know that there's water quality indexes that rate streams by class or by beneficial use. And we have discussed in front of the interim SR Square Committee at times, I believe, anyway, a process that Fish and Wildlife Department and the Water Resources Department went through to identify stream stretches where water flow is the biggest constraining factor on recovery of some listed stocks, or where it's the most critical thing. Beyond that, I don't know of anything. I'll ask if Jay has anything else to add to that, but that's the sum total of my knowledge.
Well, we do have TMDLs coming on and 303D testing, so there's some measurement there.
Senator Messerly, the Oregon Plan report that identifies exactly those streams in each basin where we have water quality listings and the basis for those water quality listings, and I think that one of the things that Kelly Moore has been facilitating with the monitoring team by having all the agencies there is looking at where water quality issues are also related to fish recovery issues, and we certainly have made investments in data collection and monitoring that's associated with that piece of the equation.
So we have no, with the monitoring process, we have no rating system within that monitoring that would indicate whether a stream has improved from one class to another over time. It seems to me that's pretty critical.
Well, I'll grab hold of Kelly Moore and invite him to the table.
Get the boss here. Right.
Chair Messerly, members of the committee, my name is Kelly Moore. I coordinate monitoring policy for the Oregon Plan and work at OWEB. We do have, in parts of the state, data-based systems to evaluate streams and progress towards improving the streams. We resurvey, and when we know we put winning streams, we, lo and behold, see more wood the second time around. More important to our, and Senator Morgan left, but representing Morgan left, but there is a we have a model, a population model for coho salmon that allows us to look at the habitat as we go out and measure it and talk about how many smolts can be produced from a given reach of stream at a given time. And this model is based upon the physical characteristics of the stream. It's the kind of thing that will be able to tell us with some additional work, can we get enough fish production out of fresh water to survive periods of poor ocean conditions? And that's a kind of indicator we'd like to see everywhere in the state, and somehow combine the physical characteristics of the streams with the water quality measurements to get there. It's something that could be developed. It's very close to being developed for the coast. It'll be part of what we put together with the governor's office for the ESA process. But we don't have that kind of thing developed for other species and for other parts of the state.
And I think a good deal of what we've been wrestling with here in the last 15 minutes, and this is a very healthy conversation to have, is is that we had been slotting our agency performance measures to look just at a small piece of the larger thing that we acknowledge we're responsible for coordinating and pushing and moving forward, and would had set off the notion of the environmental indicators development as something that was part of that larger thing. But I understand the points that have been made, and I agree with what you're saying, and we will continue to work on it, and I think that we've got the nuts and bolts in the monitoring program, in the Oregon Plan database, the restoration inventory database that Jay has been working on, and with some of what we got started with the Progress Board, to piece together a set of performance measures that maybe we just report differently, or we take responsibility for reporting on, even if it's more than just what OWEB is allocating in a dollar for dollar on any given board meeting. We can grab hold of that.
Thank you. Jay, I know you well enough to know that you're vibrating and wanting to say something.
Chair Messonly, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jay Nicholas. I work at OWEB. And I'm certainly taking to heart everything that you're, every criticism and every tiny compliment you have about our performance measures. If you look at the top of this page, this the contact person is me. It's my responsibility to put these things together. And every criticism, every constructive criticism you mentioned today, they reflect the same kinds of discussions we've had internally. And we just literally struggled with how to do this. These performance measures, they direct the things that OWEB does, or they address the things that we do at the ground level. Our presumption is if we do our job right, if we make these investments properly, then they will lead to the desired outcomes. We struggled mightily. We talked to folks from different agencies and the Progress Board. Everybody that looked at our measure says, well, yeah, but, you know, this isn't measuring. This is just the little stuff. What about the big stuff? And we went back and said, we don't know how to do it. Help us. Nobody was able to tell us how to do it, to advise us. So this is a good continuation of that. And I'm still struggling with how to do what you're suggesting. I think you're right. It needs to be done. And if we can get closer to that in the next or all the way there, I'm all for it. I mean, same thing on the economic indicators. I mean, that's a big part of what the OWEB board struggles with is do something positive for the fish, the watersheds, water quality, and the economy. And we just struggle with, well, what kind of economic indicator do we use to measure our performance? Other than things that we already have, you know, we have records of how many miles we've planted or streams fenced or culverts fixed or matches on our investments, how well we've leveraged funds. But we haven't figured out how to put that into a overall context for each of the 15 basins. So without making any more apologies, we agree we've got to work on it.
But even that kind of information, miles of stream fenced or miles of habitat improved, would be helpful per year that we can see what progress is being made.
And we've got that in our biennial report, and we suggested that as a performance measure to the Progress Board, and our counsel from that group was that that really wasn't sufficient. But we do have that information. So
I might add, in other committees as well as in this committee, we often go beyond what the Progress Board requires, mm-hmm. just so that we in the budget process can understand mm-hmm. where those dollars are going. And I should also say, in fairness, that by attending meetings where the Progress Board is responding, they have struggled with documenting natural resources in all areas.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just very hard to quantify. How do we show what we're doing and are we making progress? So, committee, are we ready for a motion? Is there any other comments?
Mr. Chair,
Attorney
I move
Martin.
That the committee accept the LFO recommendation on performance measures in the OWEB budget.
You've heard the
heard the motion, committee. Is there more discussion? Is there objection? Motion carries.
Moving on to Section B for Senate Bill 5547, which are the adjustments to the governor's balanced budget. You'll see a very short summary on the vacant positions that we'll deal with as we get into the actual adjustments. There are very few vacant positions in this agency, with one actual vacant position. One position is vacant simply because it's funded in a policy package. Moving on to the next page, number one is for the agency operations. You see the standard adjustments. There's a series of the five packages. The first is for employee compensation to make the adjustments to reflect the salary freeze. Package two, the vacant position adjustment. This gives you a little bit better explanation about where the vacant positions are. There is currently one vacant monitoring position in the program. The position is eliminated in the governor's balanced budget due to a revenue shortfall in package 070. Based on the feedback from the subcommittee during the agency's public hearings, LFO is recommending the position not be eliminated and be filled for the purposes of monitoring during the 03-05 biennium. And you'll see when we get to package 070 in a few minutes that we propose some other ways of reaching that reduction instead of eliminating the position. LFO adjustment package 003 is the Attorney General rate adjustment. LFO adjustment package 004 is the change for DAS assessments. And LFO adjustment package 005 is the package that reduces the inflation allowance.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Morgan.
I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation on package 001, 002, 003, 004, and 005 in the operations part of the OWEB budget.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Motion carries.
Moving on to policy packages and technical adjustments. Again, this is the 070 package that I was just discussing in the vacant position discussion. LFO is recommending approval of this package as modified. The package made a number of reductions in the governor's balanced budget needed to match Measure 66 operations forecast. Expenditures to forecast, including the elimination of a monitoring position and an information services position. LFO is recommending adjusting the package to take services supplies reductions instead of eliminating the monitoring position. We're also recommending the package be adjusted to shift the information services position to federal funds from the administrative allowance on the Pacific Coastal SAM recovery funds and to make that position limited duration. And we're also recommending the additional reduction of $19,607 from special payments. This is an amount that was not identified for any particular recipient. Therefore, LFO is recommending elimination of that limitation.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Morgan.
I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation on package 070 relating to the revenue shortfall in the operations part of the budget.
Committee, you've heard the motion. Is there discussion? Objection? Motion carries.
Package 110 is for a grant program manager. LFO is recommending approval of this package. The package would fund a grant program manager position with the federal funds from the administrative allowance on the PCSRF grants and would also make the position limited duration.
Mr. Chair.
Cindy Morgan.
I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation on package 110 relating to the grant manager program and the operations.
Thank you. Discussion? Representative Johnson.
Just a question. I'm not going to be able to think of the word all of a sudden. Classification is this position.
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, this is a principal executive manager E.
Okay. Thank you.
Limited duration.
Okay. Other discussion? Objection? Motion carries.
Package 210 is the allowance for the Pacific Coastal SAM Recovery Grant for federal fiscal year 2002. LFO is recommending approval of this package as modified. The package provides a limitation for uncommitted funds from the federal fiscal year 02 PCSRF grant. The package also contained $560,000 of federal fund limitation for a Bonneville Power Administration grant for watershed assessments. It now appears that this BPA grant will not be awarded. Therefore, LFO is recommending the package be adjusted to remove this elimination or eliminate this limitation of $560,000 federal funds.
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation on package 210 as it relates to the PCSRF funding for fiscal year 02 in the operations budget.
Further discussion? Objection? Motion carries.
Package 225 is part of the Lower Columbia River Estuary Project transfer. As you recall, you acted on a package in the DEQ budget that would transfer the funding for this project from DEQ to OWEB. This particular package, we're recommending approval as modified. The co-chair plan approves $200,000 of lottery funds for the Lower Columbia River Estuary Project, but does not allow for the transfer of the general fund. Therefore, LFO is recommending the package be adjusted to eliminate the general fund transfer and to increase slightly the lottery funds to make the total support for LCREP $200,000 lottery funds.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Morgan.
I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation on package 225 as it relates to the Lower Columbia River Estuary in the operations part of budget.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Motion carries.
We now move into a series of LFO adjustment packages, the first of which is LFO adjustment package 006 for the independent multidisciplinary science team. This is part of a one-time fund shift in the co-chair plan to maximize funds from the Pacific Coast SAM recovery monies and Measure 66 to avoid reductions in Oregon plan expenditures and make general fund available to address the statewide revenue shortfall. This adjustment in this package makes a one-time shift of $211,661 lottery funds reduction, and to increase the support, total support for the IMST to $600,000 federal funds from monies available in the Pacific Coastal SAM Recovery Fund grant.
Before we have a motion, Representative Jeff, is I know we've really pushed the IMST team in the past. Have they got quite a backlog of requests of studies? Or where are they present?
Chair Messley,
I've been on policy committee. We haven't had an update.
Chair Messley, I'm going to ask Kelly Moore to come up to join me on the specifics on the backlog. I spoke with Stan Gregory this morning, and the funding has been at a level in the last biennium that was at $900,000 for the biennium. The governor's balance budget looked at a figure that was just shy of $800,000. So the 600 is a little less than what we had talked about in the governor's balanced budget, and this will result in principally the layoff of research assistants and a diminishment in the capacity to produce products. And we've been having some discussions, I think, on a broader set of folks have been having some discussions about how to reorient the workload of the IMST to take on the real priority stuff. And I know they're meeting today actually talking about this subject and how to grab hold of the budget for the upcoming biennium. I have no idea sitting here whether Kelly Moore can tell you what the backlog is on the reports, but he might be able to.
Chair Messley, Kelly Moore again. I don't know what it characterizes as a backlog. There are a number of reports that are due to come out within the next short period. The temperature report, extreme temperatures report on climate basin issues. They are about midway through a report on Eastern Oregon watershed issues. Because they're independent, however, they kind of choose their own topics to work on, and so it's hard to characterize the backlog. They have a large list of items that they may choose to work upon. And I think the direction of the team is to move towards more discrete products, more responsive to some of the immediate needs that we're looking at. But the best person to ask would be probably the two co-chairs of the team.
I just have to say I'm a little surprised that they are independent as far as the projects, because as I recall, when we first set this up, that the governor's office, the legislature, several listed entities could request that they put together information for us. So has that changed? Has there been a policy change here?
I don't believe so, Senator. They accept all requests, and then they make decisions about where to go.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Bruce.
What I'm interested in is after they've been there for a while, the legislature pushed the IMST to be more quickly responsive, not necessarily in papers and things, but to ODFW, to Ag, to other agencies that were dealing with things, so that when we put something together, we want this agency to do this, and we'd like it to be done in a good scientific manner. Would you consult with the IMST? Are they still able to do that?
Chair Messley, Senator Dukes, yes, they are. They've changed the way they operate to a degree where when these more immediate issues come up, they sort of fast-track, get together with the agencies to meet and do reports. They've worked with us several times to review proposals on research activities, for example. And I know they've worked with ODFW directly on some of the resolving some of the understandings about harvest management.
Because I assume that they may have some involvement, or at least if they're asked, on the research facility that ODFW is to move forward on.
That's exactly the kind of request that they have acted on before. Hinkle Creek, the Willamette Toxics, Nonperial Dam have been the kind of peer review process the IMST has provided products for agencies, and my experience on a very fast turnaround time. Mr. Chair, I did want to mention that that in talking to Stan Gregory today also, the biggest, I think if he were sitting here, he would say one of the biggest factors impinging on their ability to get some work done right now is that they have several vacancies that they are struggling mightily to have appointments made. And he asked me today to convey that the IMST is going to be signing a letter today or tomorrow, in fact, asking the legislative leadership and the governor to do everything that can be done to help fill the vacancies so they have a full complement. And the current budget allotment would move them from a 0.33 FTE down to a quarter-time FTE with reduced research assistance.
Thank you. Representative Martin.
I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation on adjustment package 006 as it relates to the IMST.
You've heard the motion. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chair, if I might just clarify that the governor's balanced budget contains $211,661,000 of lottery funds, with the rest that the director was speaking of, the $800,000 being made up from the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Funds, and therefore the one-time shift is in essence that $211,661 that would be reversed next time.
Thank you. Is there objection to the motion? Motion carries.
LFO Adjustment Package 007 is, again, part of the one-time shift. This dealing with local watershed councils staff support. This is a one-time reduction in lottery funds limitation from the Measure 66 operating dollars that would be made up with $1.4 million in federal funds from the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund. The total overall support for watershed councils in the co-chair plan would still be $3.1 million.
Mr. Chair, might I ask a question?
Sure, Representative Morgan.
Mr. Huntington, with relation to the support for the watershed council staff, does the $3.1 million that's in the 0305 budget, how does that relate to what was in the 0103 budget?
Chair Messler, Representative Morgan, actually, I'm hoping that was a misstatement. I think it's 4.1.
You're right. I'm sorry.
3.1 will be federal funds, and 1 million will be the Measure 66, and that maintains the same level of funding that was available this biennium.
Thank you. Mr. Chair,
Representative Martin.
I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation on adjustment package 007 as it relates to local watershed council staff support.
Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Motion carries.
LFO adjustment package 008 is to update the carry forward limitation for funding that the agency has committed during the 0103 biennium but was not expended. This package does a number of things. One, it removes some limitation, $200,000 worth of lottery funds limitation that was included as carryover in the governor's balanced budget, but that was used during the special session 6 as part of the statewide rebalance plan. It also includes $551 of other funds limitation for carryover from other fund revenues, primarily from salmon plate sales, for projects that were committed but not completed, and includes $2,220,693 of federal funds limitation for monies primarily from the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund that were committed during the 103 biennium but were not expended.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question?
Sure, Representative Morgan.
I recall in the last biennium that we established different accounts for the money to go in as it rolled forward for the balances on the grants that didn't get spent in the year that they were appropriated. Can you refresh my memory about the structure of that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, that's precisely why you have in front of you Senate Bill 5550 today, because that bill will provide the six-year limitation for the Measure 66 capital dollars that will be expended. You did a similar thing last session in providing in a separate bill six-year limitation for the capital dollars, primarily because of the concern of the large roll-ups that kept occurring and made it artificially inflated the department's budget as far as what true expenditures were. So this $200,000 is Measure 66 operating dollars. And the capital dollars will be dealt with in a separate bill, and the department will be given six-year limitation for those dollars.
Thank you. I think from the perspective of just keeping the books straight, that separating this out is a very good idea. And it caused a great deal of confusion to have everything roll forward in the same account, because you couldn't tell how long some things had been in there. And when we finally untangled it, we were scratching our heads for a while. Are you ready for a
moment? I'm ready.
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation for adjustment package 008 as it relates to updated carry forward limitation.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Objection? Motion carries.
LFO Adjustment Package 009 accommodates the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Grant for federal fiscal year 03. Again, this is $10,564,901 of federal funds. You'll also see a position and a half FTE included in this. This position is a position that has been funded in the current biennium to assist NOAA Fisheries with delays and processes relating to the Endangered Species Act. This portion of this position, roughly, I believe, about $90,000, a little bit less than $90,000, will be paid for, again, from the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Funds and not from necessarily from the agency's admin allowance, but from the part earmarked in the co-chair plan for the ESA linkage.
Mr. Chair, could I ask for additional detail on what exactly this person does?
Representative Morgan.
That's my question.
That is the question.
And I will certainly be happy to let the director respond to the question.
I was watching the back of the question. Senator Mesley, Representative Morgan, this is a position that is reports directly to Mike Tehan and to myself. It was requested by NOAA Fisheries as a condition of the last grant, and we essentially had a choice of having OWEB receive the full amount of Oregon share and then enter into agreement to cooperatively manage a position, or have NOAA Fisheries just take a slice off the top and hire it as a federal employee. My board chose to do the former, and as part of the agreement then for having that be jointly supervised, she works on two things. One, she processes federal permit consultations, ESA consultations on any restoration project that a citizen group or a landowner in the state is involved in that requires a federal permit. And instead of having those just be in the pile that the NIFS, the regular National Marine Fisheries staff, gets to when it gets to be their turn, her job is to give expedited consultation on restoration projects so that grant funds, project grants that OWEB or BPA or actually from any fund source, aren't held up. The second piece of work that she does has been to help work on programmatic recognition of different I just lost my train of thought. Programmatic recognition of some of the standards and things that we apply to grant agreements, so that there would be less of a need for consultation on an individual project by project basis in the future, because OWEB and NOAA Fisheries had entered into an agreement that if OWEB funded a project that had such and such specifications or used such and such technical manual, that the consultation requirements would be satisfied. That is what she has done for the last 2 years. In the coming year for this budget cycle, she will continue to work on the consultations, but she will also weave into helping staff the ESA recognition process that is being launched between the state and NOAA Fisheries, and will work with Michael Tehan on that and myself on that process.
Follow up, Mr. Chair?
Sure.
With reference to the part of the job that involves the consultations, is the nature of the work that's done to facilitate consultations taking place, to kind of run the trap line and make sure everybody's got what they need when they need it, or is this person actually consulting?
Senator Mesley, Representative Morgan, my staff's going to correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure, but my understanding is she does both. That there are projects that she's actually doing the consultation as staff of the Habitat Division of NIMS, and there are projects where that consultation has landed on another employee's desk, and she, because she participates and knows all about our program, participates in my staff meetings and can work with my field staff and make the linkage so that it doesn't get held up in the process when it hits the desk of somebody else in the federal agency.
Can I make a comment?
Comment.
Going back to the discussion that we had on the performance measures, I think one of the issues that all of us have discussed with the folks in the watershed councils and the folks in the other agencies is the amount of time that it takes to get through the state permitting process and then the interface and through to the federal side of things when those things are called for too. And I would personally be very interested in seeing a performance measure that tracks the amount of time that it takes the permitting process to be completed, and with a goal of having that time frame shortened up.
Senator Mesley, Representative Morgan, we'll work on that.
And with that, are you ready for the motion?
I think we're ready.
I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation for adjustment package 009 related to the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Grant for fiscal year 03.
Thank you for the motion. Is there discussion of the motion? Is there objection? Motion carries. Jeff, I just want to make a statement for the record here that how much I and I think my committee and the legislative body appreciates the cooperation we've had from you, your staff, your board, and helping us get through this very difficult year that the, I believe, is what, 22 million that we've fund shifted to maintain our programs, our base programs that are a major part of our recovery and delistings, and plus the general fund money that we've been able to free up for education, health and human services, and other services that the state of Oregon provides. Without the cooperation, we would have had a much tougher job to do in the legislature, and I just want to, if you would convey to your board that we all appreciate that very much. And a double bonus on this is that we haven't really damaged your grant program for the capital expenditures very little at all. I think we're very well still in the ball game. So, quite frankly, I've been concerned of how much are we taking away from the projects, and so that's really good news for me that we're still $24 million plus in your grant program, capital grant program.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate the climate that we've been able to establish for working through issues, and there's no question. I agree with you 100% on the capital piece of it. You know, I still am struggling to figure out how we're going to grab hold of the next year with the non-capital piece of the program, because that has been zeroed out as a result of how hard we've worked to rebalance the other Oregon plan things. But I think with a future installment of the federal funds coming, that we'll work through that too. And thank you very much. I will convey your message to the board.
Thank you.
I was just tapped on the shoulder saying, and might mention that our board did meet this morning and approved the bridge funding to initiate the transfer of the federal funds to the affected agencies effective July 1. So we are in a position that, depending on how this body sets the table for those to occur as part of a continuing resolution, we're ready to go and execute the programs pursuant to your direction.
Thank you. And also, to move along here, I do not have approval from the co-chairs to do our budget notes yet. So, Mr. Siebert, where?
We'll go on to page number 5.
Mr. Chair, we don't have approval for any of them?
No, I don't. I just asked our staff members.
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, if I might just clarify, we've been unable to meet with the co-chairs to discuss the OWEB budget yet. Therefore, it's been very difficult to get approval for any budget notes. And that's why the
For whatever it's worth, Mr. Chair, at least one of the co-chairs said to me today, because I went up and said, so are we on our own here? And Senator Schroeder said that he thought what we had in front of us was good, and so that's half the team.
You're absolutely accurate, Senator. He's also discussed with me, but that only gets me halfway down the street.
With that, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, I just direct again to number 2, which is the capital projects portion of the OWEB budget. Again, we'll deal with this next in Senate Bill 5550. Number 3 is the Restoration Protection Research Fund. There are two LFO adjustment packages for this program unit. LFO adjustment package 006 updates the carry forward in the Restoration Protection Research Fund. Again, the department has requested some additional limitation for monies that were committed during 0103 but remained unexpended. And I believe these are primarily related to the Hinkle Creek Research Project. And we're recommending an increase of $183,780 of lottery funds.
Mr. Chair, process question again.
Representative Morgan.
This particular line item is just one grant, or is it just Hinkle Creek, or are there other pieces in it?
I believe that this particular part is for Hinkle Creek. There is additional carry-forward limitation in their budget for, I believe, the Willamette Toxin Study. But this is a part that was addressed in an emergency board that I believe occurred before the department had an opportunity to increase or include this adjustment in the governor's balanced budget.
And again, my concern here is in the research fund, to be able to know whether they are the money going in year by year or biennium by biennium is being rolled forward in separate accounts so that we can track how much has been in there for what amount of time.
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, that will be something we will have to do on paper at this point with this account.
Okay.
And we have been, the department's been very good about taking steps of differentiating which is interest on the operating side of the Measure 66 funds and which is interest on the capital side. And again, it is, while at least the problem isn't as big because it's a much smaller fund, it will be something that will have to be tracked on paper.
Ready for a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair, I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation on adjustment package 006 relating to cash carry forward in the Restoration Protection Research Fund.
Thank you for the motion. Is there discussion? Okay. Objection? Motion carries.
LFO adjustment package 007 is a limitation to complete work on the Conservation Hatchery Improvement Program. Work was begun in 0103 on the non-parallel dam adult trap and gold genetic pedigree grant project. In the co-chair plan for use of Measure 66 and Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Funds, there is $650,000 of lottery funds, again, from the interest on the Measure 66 operations side of the ledger for use to complete this project.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Morgan.
I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation on adjustment package 007 relating to the Conservation Hatchery Improvement Program in the Restoration and Protection Research Fund.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Motion carries.
Section C is the other fund ending balance. In the governor's balanced budget, there is really no other fund ending balance to speak of because this is not an operating fund. They use it simply for grants. Again, you've acted previously on allowing additional limitation for carryover expenditure from the mostly from proceeds of sales of salmon plates for projects, but there is really no operating ending balance. In truth, there is some other funds ending balance because it has remained unexpended, but the department expects to expend those dollars during the next biennium.
So, Mr. Chair, then the rollbacks that we did in the standard adjustment, the savings there just go back into the federal funds or the lottery funds to be expended?
Mr. Chair, Representative Morgan, there are actually no savings in the standard adjustment for other funds or federal funds because the agency's operation budget is strictly Measure 66 operating lottery funds. So all those adjustments were just to lottery funds.
Mr. Chair, I recommend that I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendation on the other funds ending balance.
Thank you. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, before we get too far off, the Conservation Hatchery Improvement Program, Mr. Siebert mentioned that $650 would complete the program, and that really is just the next 2 years. That's actually a multiple-year commitment that we are about to embark on, so you will expect to see us back next biennium discussing that again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Actually, the next section is changes to the appropriation bill. Would the chair like to go through these changes at this point?
Perhaps, Mr. Chair, we should wait until we do the budget
stuff. I'm thinking we should wait, and we'll do that next time we get back together.
Certainly.
Mr. Chair, I wanted to take this opportunity, since we're not moving the budget today, to talk about budget notes and something that we had talked about before. And it's a concern I have had for a couple of years over OWEB's large grants and the process of getting there. And I think that staff has done a good job. I like the merit-based one, but I wanted to talk about the possibility of a budget note that would instruct OWEB, and I know that Mr. Huntington's going to go work on it anyway, but after 2 years I feel more comfortable having something in writing to go work on the process for those large grants. People feel left out of the process. They feel confused. We're seeing an increase in the applications for the small grants because they feel that's more straightforward and they can handle that. And there is a question about meetings that aren't open to the applicants, and staff is very well aware of the concern. I would just like to see a budget note drafted that would direct OWEB to work on that. I've spoken with the chair, certainly with the director and with staff, and there's no resistance there. I would just sort of like to get it on the record this time.
Would you like to sit down with Mr. Siebert and develop a budget?
I'd be happy to. My guess would be I don't even have to sit down with him. This is not a new issue, but yes, I would be happy to.
I think that's appropriate, and also it fits in with our discussion on performance measures as well.
Mr. Chair, that would end the discussion, I believe, for today on Senate Bill 5547. And I would direct you into the memo dated June 23rd for Senate Bill 5550. You should also have a copy of the bill in front of you, but this is a standard blank bill.
Well, let me get my number straight here. We close the work session on Senate Bill 5547 and open the work session on Senate Bill 5550.
Mr. Chair. It's somehow reassuring to know that state government has a standard blank bill.
Mr. Chair, we have a number of those down for just such occasions. When we were preparing for the OWEB budget, it came to light that essentially there was no place in their budget or in any of the bills that were dropped to accommodate the capital grant projects. One reason for that was because that there was a separate bill last time providing six-year limitation to the department for their capital project funding. Having consulted with legislative counsel, we were informed that if you are to provide six-year limitation for expenditures, then you need a separate bill, much like you have a capital construction bill separate from agency budgets. Therefore, you have before you today Senate Bill 5550. This bill has essentially two adjustments to the second program in OWEB's budget, which are the capital projects program. Package 330 is the 0305 project grant fund. LFO is recommending approval of this package as modified. The addition of the $938,857 lottery funds to this package brings the total allowed for capital projects to $24,221,497 of lottery funds. It really goes in hand in hand with package 331, which we're recommending denial of, because this package simply added some amount of lottery funds to the package 330 to come up with the required 65%. With the approval of package 330 and the denial of package 331, again, the department would have limitation for 6-year limitation for $24,221,497 lottery funds. And along with the other allocations, which actually take place in Senate Bill 5547, you would meet the 65% requirement of funding being used for capital projects.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Morgan.
I move that the committee accept the LFO recommendations on Package 330 and Package 331 relating to capital projects.
Thank you. You've heard the motion. Is there discussion of the motion? Is there objection? Motion carries.
Section B are the recommended changes to the appropriation bill. Again, you have the bill before you. These changes would delete all the bill except for the emergency clause and insert a section that would provide, again, the six-year limitation beginning July 1 of 03 of $24,221,497 of lottery funds.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Morgan.
I move that the committee accept the LFO recommended change to the appropriation bill and move the bill to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. You've heard the motion, Jeff. If I'm reading this right, you just gained $221,000 over the $24 million that we told you. See how you make money in this committee?
We'll take it. We wish we could change the color of its stripes so we could use it on other things, but we'll take it. You bet. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there discussion? Is there objection? Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, that ends what you have before you for today, I believe.
Carry your own.
Yes, we do.
Thank you, sir. Who would like to carry this in the House? Representative Krieger, would you like to carry this to the full in the House?
No, but I'll do it.
You want to carry it in the Senate?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
and, Senator Dukes will carry it to the Senate. And with that, we'll adjourn the Senate Bill 5547 work session, and adjourn the committee. And 5-5-6. Thank you.